Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Today, our topic is three toxic relationship habits you may think are normal. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts, and also go to RewriteStory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away.
You know, Al, the trash, it's really getting full. I mean, it's like I'm having to really shove everything down, and it's just really full. And, you know, Al, it's really, I'm really having a hard time with my desk because, you know, the knob is really loose on my desk, and I, you know, it's really hard because sometimes when I pull my drawer out, the knob just comes off. And, geez, Al, don't you think that the grass outside is getting a little bit high?
Cindy, you know, I hear what you're saying, but you know what? The laundry hasn't been done. Look at the dishes in the kitchen. They're piling up. And you know, really, when's the last time you made a really good dinner when all we do is go out? I spend all my hard-working money going out. And when do you cook anymore? It's almost like all you do is watch TV and don't cook it anymore.
Very, very good. And welcome to today's episode of Your Toxic Relationship Dance, and where we'll be discussing three things you may think are normal that are actually toxic. And if you got the drift of what Al and I were just doing is we were dropping hints. I never specifically said, Al, could you take care of the yard? Al, would you take care of the trash out? Al, would you fix my desk drawer? I'm dropping hints. And likewise, he is going into the sort of almost the semi-blaming mode. It's like, well, you're not cooking anymore. You're not doing this. Instead of saying, gee, I'd appreciate a nice home-cooked meal. Would you please cook dinner for me? So dropping hints is number one that we're going to be talking about. And before we start talking about that, I wanted to remind you that if you're online, you can go to facebook.com/group/yourtoxicrelationshipdance, and you can ask us questions on Facebook. If you're on the Blog Talk Radio page, you can definitely there's a chat room there that you can ask questions, and Al will monitor that. And I don't have the phone number again in front of me. Oh, there it is. And you can call in live to ask your questions, 713-955-0561. So those are the ways that you can communicate with us during the show. Before we start, I found this this quote, and I love it, and it's something to really, really, really think about. For anybody in any type of relationship, whether it be romantic relationship or you know, I think it applies in any type of relationships. It's by Jim Rohn. It says, the greatest gift you can give to somebody is your own personal development. I used to say, if you will take care of me, I will take care of you. But now I say, I will take care of me for you, if you will take care of you for me.
That's pretty cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was just a really, 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 you know, big, so much to do with anything whenever our relationships break apart is because they start to get toxic and they break apart. And we're always thinking that we want to blame the other person rather than looking inside and saying, hey, it's my responsibility to take care of me. So with dropping hints, Al, you know, we had talked, you know, a little bit about that. So what other type of hints can you think of, especially that men may be dropping on women instead of saying outright what they want?
Well, you know what's interesting, and I what I was thinking about right now. So I'm going to use myself as an example here. So to avoid a confrontation, to avoid telling a person what to do, to avoid suggesting anything, what I used to do is I used to, per se, be the role model. So in other words, if I was in a relationship and this person's just watching TV and being a couch potato, I would be in the backyard, you know, working on the yard and for a few hours, you know, putting some hard work in, trusting that that would show the other, motivate the other person to get up and do something, you know, whatever that something is. And I guess in a roundabout way, well, actually, I was hoping that was going to be a hint. And it didn't work, to be honest. But how do you go around? See, because I didn't want to put myself in a position where I was telling people what to do, or even avoiding a confrontation. So, what is the workaround?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to be totally upfront with what you want. I mean, dropping hints can even go as far as like, gee, Mexican food sounds good to me right now. It's like, why not just say, I would like to go eat at a Mexican restaurant. With your example there, it's like, I would appreciate it if you would come and help me with the yard. I would appreciate it if you would do this. Because especially if you add that word, I would appreciate it if, you're still giving the other person the choice. You're not telling them what to do. And you need to, excuse me, I know what's wrong with my voice this morning, but you need to accept, you know, be willing to accept the no, be willing to accept what the other person is feeling. So if you say, hey, you know, I'd appreciate it if you come help me with the yard, and your mate says, gee, I was really looking forward to watching this show all week, and I've just sat down to watch it, then you have to honor their no, which is basically what they're saying. And with a lot of these problems, communication is the key ingredient. The communication is one of the key ingredients in any healthy relationship. And whenever the relationship is toxic, we have a lot of communication patterns that are toxic that we think are perfectly normal. Sometimes we think dropping hints, we're being nice. We're being nice, like you just said. I'm being nice. You know, gee, I sure would like her to. But whenever you do that, what happens? You get frustrated because your partner is not picking up on those hints. I mean, it's like, damn it, Al, every day for the past week I've been telling you that the trash is getting full. How come you haven't taken it out yet? You're just lazy. You know, and even though I may not say that to you, I may be thinking it, and that's just building up this animosity, which gears you for a huge fight about something that has nothing at all to do with the trash, because it started from me not specifically saying, Al, I would appreciate it if you would take out the trash. Or you saying, Cindy, I would appreciate it if you would help me with the yard. Because this way you are specifically clearly saying what you want. It's interesting to me how many people think hints, giving hints is a good way of communicating, or giving hints is somehow being nice. Because it's not nice, because actually you're asking the other person to read your mind. And nobody can read somebody else's mind.
Okay, so I know, like, if you and I were in a relationship, I could be very direct with you, and you would take it for what it's worth. What do you do about if you're in a relationship and it's already toxic and the other person is sensitive and you feel uncomfortable being direct with them?
You did right there. You feel uncomfortable. You have to start small. And a lot of times, if you start any conversation with I would appreciate, then that person, because they love you, even in a toxic relationship, there's this love thing. But if you're feeling uncomfortable, number one, you need to get over that. You need to face your fears and start little. But start with the little things, like I said, like taking out the trash. If you want something, instead of laying a hint, just say, I would appreciate it if you would blah, blah, blah. That's a very non-threatening thing. I have never heard of anybody getting upset for somebody saying, I would appreciate it if you would do ABC. Because, number one, the person that's receiving this message is feeling valued as a person. Number two, the person receiving this message now feels like they have a choice. And even, because if you're hinting, the person that's receiving the message might feel like, they're trying to manipulate me. I'm going to show them. I'm not going to let them manipulate me.
This is powerful stuff, Cindy.
And thinking about it, it's just so true. So therefore, whenever you start, I appreciate that. Would you get upset with anybody? Is there any way somebody could get upset with you saying, I would appreciate it if you would do this or that? Because if you love that person, you're going to want to do it for them because you're feeling the appreciation.
Wow. So if you were to word it like this, hey, so what do you think about washing the dishes before we go out for the day? It's better to say, I would appreciate it if you would wash the dishes before we go out for the day.
Exactly. You know, and interesting, even you said that. Now, I can tell you there's been more than one night in my life where I have left dishes in the sink, both whenever I was married to Earl, whenever I lived on my own. But Mike does not like dishes in the sink overnight at all. And that's exactly how he got me in the habit of always making sure the dishes are washed, and simply by saying, I would appreciate it if you'd do it before we went to bed. Because then I felt like I was doing him a favor. I felt appreciated for doing it. I didn't feel manipulated into doing it. And eventually it just became habit. And I noticed myself, like if I go to my daughter's house and I'm staying there, or my son's house, it's like before I go to bed, I'll make sure the kitchen's clean. It's just gotten to be habit with me. But it's definitely started from Mike always telling me, I would appreciate it if you'd clean the kitchen before we go to bed. And there were times I said, I don't feel like it. And he's like, okay. And he would go clean it. So it's not, he never expected the yes. He just kept telling me that he appreciated me doing it. So this is the way to get somebody to do something. You know, and it's not being manipulative. It's really a win-win situation. I felt appreciated. Mike felt appreciated. Mike felt heard. I did not feel manipulated. I felt like I was doing it out of love. He felt like I was doing it out of love. So it was a win-win situation all the way around. But whenever you make hints, it's a lose-lose situation because, as I said earlier, the other person's either going to feel manipulated or they're not going to understand what you want. I mean, truly, if I kept telling you, Al, the trash jar is getting full, you could be thinking, Cindy, you have two hands. Why don't you take it out? You can take it out just as easy as I can.
You know, so you know what's interesting is I'm listening to you. Every good or great relationship that's thought out in the beginning has open communication and direct communication. That's how I see it. In order to have a great relationship, it's good. You got to have an open and direct communication. Now, with that being said, as the relationship evolves and you start realizing, I'm thinking about me now, but as the relationship evolves, and if you start moving away from being open and direct and it starts becoming hinting at situations or scenarios or experiences, then you're in a toxic relationship. Because I'm realizing that now. So because if you're hinting, then your relationship is no longer open communication and direct communication. It's become hinting where you hint. Even if you only do it once a week, you're still hinting. If you do it once a day, you're hinting. But if you start hinting now, then you've evolved away from open and direct communication. And therefore, it's become toxic.
Exactly. And so I'll move on to number two. And number two is blaming your partner for your own emotions. It's expecting your other partner to know exactly what's going on. And an example is, years ago when I was married to Earl, we were working mandatory 60 hours a week. Monday through, really it was probably more because I know I was at work from 6 to 6 every day from Monday through Saturday. And so I was bone tired. I was so tired. And I remember Earl said something. He wanted me to do something. And I don't know if it was cooked dinner. I don't know what it was. But he wanted me to do something, and I just lost it and started yelling at him. Don't you care about my feelings? Can't you see how tired I am? If you loved me at all, you wouldn't even have asked me to do this. I was just lost it. But actually, you know, could he have been more considerate? Yes. But was it his fault that I was tired and feeling crappy? And even was it false that he asked me to do something? I didn't have to say, if you knew I'm so tired, you never would have asked me. I could have very well said, you know, hey, I'm too tired to do it. But instead I made this big, big, huge fight out of it. Also, if you're in a bad mood and you come home from work and you've had a bad day at work and your spouse comes home from work and they have a bad day at work, then your spouse starts talking to you, your mate starts talking to you about their bad day first, then you start thinking, gee, if they even cared about me, they would ask me how my day was. So you're expecting the other person to fill your emotional need. And we were talking about this the last couple of weeks with codependency. That if you're expecting the other person, you know, to an extent, with the codependency, you're looking at the other person for your own mental health. But here you're expecting the other person to pick up on your mental health. Does that make sense to you? Am I explaining it right, you think?
Yeah, you are. And you know what? If you're expecting, you know what? And some people don't even know they're doing that. Some people don't even know that they're expecting the other person to support them emotionally or to lift up their emotions. And the key here is to be self-sufficient. The key is to rely on yourself. The key is to understand who you are and what makes you tick so that you can leverage the emotions that you have rather than counting on somebody else to either bring you up or down or whatever, or sideways. So Yeah, if you're relying, and here's the thing, though, if you're not fully aware or conscious of the fact that you're relying on somebody else's mood or words or thoughts, you know, to lift you up or to support you or to help you. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good to hear a nice word or a word of appreciation. But there's a difference when you become addicted to relying on the other person's ability to lift you up. So I agree. You have to be able to understand who you are. You have to be able to rely on yourself. You have to be able to be self-sufficient. Because the bottom line is, if you end up alone, it's going to be you. It's going to be all on you to take care of yourself.
And that's why I liked Jim Rohn's quote so much. Is I say, I will take care of me for you if you will take care of you for me. Because that really, if you're taking care of you and I'm taking care of me, then we're communicating, we can have a healthy relationship. Something here where a lot of women do too is they'll be complaining. They just want to vent, you know, and we'll be saying, my day was so crappy, my boss did this, blah, 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 blah. And the man typically will say, well, you know, you could do this or you could do that, because men, you know, and I'm being stereotypical and I know it can go either way, but men will say, they want to fix it. They want to fix the problem. So whenever the woman's sitting there complaining, crying, venting about their day, and then the man tries to fix it, then the woman gets more frustrated, like, I don't want a problem. I just want to be heard because you're not feeling heard. And it's very simple. I've done this with men, whether they be, I've only been really in two marriages, but I've done it with both my ex, my current husband. I've also done it with previous male bosses. It's like, I just want to be heard. I do not want you to solve anything. And whenever I'm point blank with what I want from the get-go, then like you, if I would tell you this, Al, you would know from the get-go, okay, I'm not trying to solve her problem. I'm just listening and being supportive. So you know from the beginning how to help me. And it's so important to really get to know yourself and know what type of support you want, because the people that love you want to support you, and they're going to be supporting you how they think you need supported unless you tell them how you want to be supported.
Okay, so I'm going to change the dynamic here, because we're basically talking about intimate relationships. But what if you work for a boss or a manager and you rely on that person's input to how your day is going to go, because it is your boss or your manager. Let's just say it is a toxic relationship. How do you maneuver around that when you're relying on your boss to pretty much set the tone for the day?
It's difficult. I mean, I was in that relationship. I had a male boss for like 5 or 6 years that it was a very toxic relationship. I mean, I can't tell you how much I cried about coming home and crying. And there's a lot to this. But the more that I grew, and we go back to if I take care of me, you know, the greatest gift you can give to somebody is your own personal development. But it's also the greatest gift you can give to yourself. Because the more I learned about me during this process, and the more I understood that I could create something that I wanted. You know, if you think about what type of a relationship you want with somebody, and you start asking yourself, how can I begin to create this relationship that I want? You are in the driver's seat, because 95% of the people out there, if not more, never think about what type of a relationship they want with different individuals. They just think relationships happen. So if you start thinking you have a boss, and this is what I had to do, is I had to start thinking, what type of a relationship do I want with this man? Okay, I wanted a relationship where I could go to work, and I actually thought that, I had told somebody this once, I hope that I never have a heart attack or something whenever he's the only manager in the office, because he probably would not call 911. Okay? it was a very toxic relationship. But once I started growing, okay, and you can call it manipulative, you can call it whatever, but to me, it helped my soul. Is I knew what he wanted, so I did what he wanted while still being congruent to my own personal beliefs and values. And I would specifically ask him, if I had a question I wasn't sure, I would say, do you want me to do A or B? And you can come up with these very simple little things. I have a client who is having a toxic relationship with one of his coworkers, which isn't really his boss, but they definitely have to work together. And he feels like this person thinks that they're above everybody else because they have a PhD. And I had told him sort of like at the beginning, I'm like, what would happen if whenever this person, because this person would just order them around, and no, it's not your boss. It's not his boss. And so I suggested, what would happen if you simply say, I can do that for you tomorrow, because this way you're still controlling your workflow, or you say, I'm in the middle of this project, and as soon as I get done with it, then I can do what you're asking me to do. But you stay in control while still being nice, because eventually this person that's ordering you around is going to start treating you with more respect, because you're being very silently and you're standing up for yourself. And so many people are scared to death to stand up to coworkers or bosses. And I'm not saying to go tell your boss to F off, because that's not going to work. I actually know somebody who did that and wondered why they got fired. But, I'm not saying that. But if you really start getting in tune with who you are and ask yourself what type of relationship you want with this person, you are in the driver's seat and you can start doing things to create it. When you feel that you are in control of your situation, that makes you a happier person. with my boss, at first, when I felt I had no control, I swear, I mean, I cried more than, I mean, I could have probably cried enough tears to fill the Pacific Ocean because this man infuriated me and upset me so much, and I felt so unheard by him. But over the course, whenever I learned how to, whenever I started taking it into my situation, what type of relationship do I want with him? You know, what's going to be a good relationship with me and him and us still get the work done? Because he wants the work done every bit as much as I want the work done. I mean, I'm a very conscientious worker, and I knew that he wanted the work done too. And if he wanted something done a specific way and I didn't agree, I still did it his way because he was the boss. So part of that, you know, is can be a control issue if you think something is wrong. You know, my ex-husband, he used to make ink, and gosh, it's getting late, but he had these big things, these that he used to have to fill to mix up the ink, and he had gotten in trouble for doing more than for doing a lot of things at the same time. So he was a total asshole because he sat there and he would load these machines and sit there and watch them turn for 3 hours until they were done without doing anything else. And which really created this huge power struggle and power issue between him and his boss, because he would do exactly to the T what his boss said to do to create problems. And you don't want to do that either. So there's this fine balance there. I do want to get to the third thing because it's something a lot of people do that don't even realize they're doing it. It's like, you know, I would say, Al, you don't listen to me. I really feel that we need to sit down and talk. We really have some important communication issues to deal with. And the next thing you go, you know, honey, it's been a long time. I'm going to take you. Let's go out and rent a house by the beach and spend the weekend on the beach together. Or you bring me home flowers or candy, you know, because you're sort of covering up the real issue by making these happy moments.
Wow.
And you're never really getting to the core of the issue. And so you keep having these happy moments, which makes the core issue get more buried and more buried and more buried. But that core issue separates you to no end. I mean, it separates you. This is where couples start feeling really growing apart. And this may have happened to you. You may have seen other couples do it. But it's like all of a sudden, you know, people think you have this great relationship because you're always going places. You know, you're going to the opera, you're going to the movies, you're going to the beach. Oh, what a great husband you have. He's buying you flowers all the time. But all of this is superficial to cover up and not deal with the core issue. Be it
okay,
money
so
problems.
Okay, so, of the three bullet points that we talked about, that one rings really true to me, that we do things to cover up, and sometimes we don't even know what we're covering up. We're just doing something to lift the emotion up between the relationship to create
exactly
these happy moments, as you say. Wow, that's deep. That is really deep, Cindy.
Yeah, women do it too. I mean, women will, hey, I'm going to buy this sexy, you know, okay, I don't want to deal with the real relationship, so I'm going to buy this sexy negligee, and I'm going to woo him and give him great sex because this is covering up the real issue. Or I'm going to cook him a great dinner. You know, we do things really to beautify ourselves or with sex to cover up the issue. But also it can go more towards cooking, you know, your mate's favorite dinner or making them a dessert, or maybe they love to golf, so you go golfing with them for a day. So whatever it is that you're doing it to make this happy moment because you don't want the bad moment. And I really wanted to make it clear how women do this just as much as men do.
You know, Cindy, we should delve into this third one more diligently at a future date. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I really like this last topic. I liked all of them, but I really like this last one. For the audience, Cindy Hallberg, my wonderful co-host, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of ProjectForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of what you are going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diasforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m., listen to us. And if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments, please do contact us either on our Facebook page or just get a hold of us somehow. But do a search on our radio page. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. Cindy, you rock being you. Have a great day.
And big hugs and big love to our audience, and have a great week.
Take care.